Congressman Big Horse?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Revard?
Here.
Congressman Tillman? Chair Whitehorn?
Here.
Sorry, I apologize. Congresswoman Lemon?
She said here already, Congresswoman Lemon did, and we have a quorum. The next item on our agenda is prayer. Congressman Big Horse, would you please lead us in a word of prayer to start our meeting? Thank you, Congressman. Next item on our agenda is approval of minutes. I need to get that up myself.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Congressman Big Horse?
Without objection, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes dated June 17th, 2025.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve June 17th's minutes. Is there any discussion? All in favor of the motion, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Seeing none, the minutes are approved by the committee. Next item on the agenda is the Department of Natural Resources. It's a very important department, I feel, for our nation. I've always enjoyed working with Secretary Heyman. We've done a lot of things over the years. And so I'm glad they're here to present their budgets today. And the way I'd like to open up is we have some annual plans. Do you guys all have your packet for this committee meeting? They have their annual plans are in here, and our directors and secretaries spend their time putting these together, and I think that I would like to hear Secretary Heyman. I believe one of the portion of the plans is yours, and it's my understanding it's for the domestic portion, but can we just go ahead and hear that before we get into the budgets, and then I'll ask to hear Mr. Walker speak some to his plan, and then we'll start the budgets. Thank you. The floor is yours, Secretary Heyman.
Thank you for letting me be here today and talk about some of these budgets to start out. On the domestic budget, I believe we've had a pretty successful year. It was a transitionary year for us. One of our primary goals for FY26 is to continue to build the pipeline for Butcher House. We have, when the CARES cattle were first purchased, they were all a spring calving herd. We are expanding that to be also a fall calving herd. So that way we can have a pipeline of calves throughout the year. So I want to take a moment to kind of come back to the very core, I guess, purpose for the herd is to, again, just for a pipeline to Butcher House. So as everybody is probably aware with the high cattle prices, this herd, since it's not for profit, it's a department and it's to support Butcher House, really we're looking in FY26 to really see that positively impact Butcher House, so they're not having to purchase whether it's outside animals or even the meat industry, even purchasing meat products in to supplement what they're doing, those costs are very high right now. So we're looking forward to getting, again, a more robust pipeline so that we can provide those animals, you know, it's internally, but at a much reduced cost, so that it, out the door for Osage people, the meat's going to be at a cost more reasonable. So that's really important, and that kind of focuses on the original intent for the herd, but now we're really seeing that in motion as an opportunity to help support our Osage people by getting more reasonable cost meat out the door. So that's, you know, again, kind of a food sovereignty goal of ours. So with that, we're just, again, kind of continuing to build the pipeline. We've, for FY25, provided 78 fed out calves and 15 coal cows to Butcher House, and we see that number increasing significantly in FY26. We are going to retain all of our calves for FY26. So we may end up selling a few very specific situations, but are going to retain all of those either for Butcher House or for replacing cows that are getting older. So that's a very broad overview. If there's any specific questions, please let me know.
I'd like to say when we get to that budget, it'll probably, we'll dive deeper into it. This is kind of like a brief overview. Congresswoman Lemon, I saw your hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is about the, it's actually a question. May I?
Sure.
Thank you so much. So the legislation that Congresswoman Good Fox presented and this body voted unanimously for the meat boxes. You're talking about being able to finally possibly get the pipeline up with the CARES cattle. And meeting the some of the needs at the Butcher House, we don't have to purchase outside meat. What is your, just, I know that it could change, but today, what is your, are you going to use CARES cattle for those meat boxes for the Osage people from the legislation that was passed? Was it last session? Yes, it was our, was our last, was it a special session? Or I can't, no? Okay. Does that make sense? Okay.
And yes, to answer your question, that was, is the goal to use CARES cattle for that. It's, our entire goal is that any meat coming out of the facility, beef and bison, that any meat is Osage beef, and it's all Osage bison right now, but that is the goal. Realistically, we're still, you know, trying to look at the numbers. If fully implemented, we're not for sure if we can do that. Realistically, probably not with the herd, but that's the priority, to use all of our animals for Butcher House in all programs, especially the food assistance program, the retail, anything like that. Our goal is for Osage people to come in and get and be able to receive Osage beef.
Thank you, Ms. Heyman. If it's okay with the committee, I'd like to hear from Director Walker right now about his annual plan, and then we'll go into the legislation budgets. Thank you.
Is it on? Okay, perfect. So for this next upcoming fiscal year, it's a little bit of business as usual, but also expanding our capacity and our abilities to optimize our natural resources. We've been privileged in the last couple of years of being able to expand that capacity in multiple different facets, as well as protecting those resources and the ability to inspect, manage, and maintain those resources. For example, we have... this will be the first full year that we've actually done the SPCC inspections for tank batteries through the Clean Water Act. That's a vital piece of protecting our resources. Water is one of the big ones that we have been really prioritizing, whether it be raw water or actually municipal waters. We've been expanding our capacity in that role as well, and assessing all the water municipalities that we can, as quickly as possible, to help develop game plans within the waters for the Osage Nation and the Osage people. So that's where we're really pushing forward towards.
So I know you know what SPCC means.
Yes.
Could you please expand so the committee and listening audience can understand what SPCC
is. Yes, my apologies.
That's okay.
SPCC stands for Spill Prevention, Controls, and Countermeasures. So when any type of facility has a chemical release, that release is a spill, and that's how it's classified. And so, for example, every tank battery in Osage Reservation has a spill prevention controls countermeasure plan. Has to be signed off by an engineer, and then that has to be sent over to the EPA. And our office is the one that actually goes out there and inspects, make sure the plan is actually current, reflects what's in the field, and is up to date to help prevent and protect our resources, specifically clean water.
And I want one more question there. The SPCC, that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a part of, that's an EPA function.
That is correct.
That the nation has taken over. It's kind of like the
UIC.
UIC program.
Yes, and UIC would stand for Underground Injection Control.
Right, okay.
And UIC gets its, which was one of the things I was going to talk about next, UIC gets its functions through the Safe Drinking Water Act. And it's a primary function of disposal wells or enhanced recovery wells. EPA is the jurisdictional authority over those, but we go out and do those inspections and make recommendations of pass and fail before it goes to enforcement.
And can you tell me what office the Osage Nation reports to concerning the EPA? Is that a Tulsa or is it a Dallas region?
It is Dallas Region 6.
Thank you so much. Okay, is there anything else that you'd like to say about your plan? I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good. Perfectly fine. So we're also continuing moving forward with our orphan well program. We've expanded our capacity there in multiple facets. We've got, by the end of this fiscal year, we'll have approximately 230 plugging applications submitted to the BIA. All those are also submitted to Minerals Council staff for review and information. BIA is the one who confirms whether or not they're orphaned or not, and then Minerals Council helps determine economic viability of those wells. Once everything's been okayed from that standpoint, then we'll go into actually the plugging process. Of course, all plugging plans and applications have to be signed off by the superintendent of the BIA per regulation, but we've increased our capacity along the lines of roles and objectives that we can gather information to make that plan more detailed. So we're shooting fluid levels, dynamics. We have the ability now to do methane scanning. We're increasing our capacity to actually do drone flights and methane scanning, along with some other sensory equipment that's going to be beneficial for other departments within the nation, such as LIDAR sensors for historic preservation. It'll be great information for them, which contributes to another piece that we work on, which is environmental assessments. Every new construction, including wells development, we write, develop, and inspect and review environmental assessments. Feed of trust applications have to have EAs done, so we review those as well. A great example would be the Osage Casino in Missouri that we're working on, putting that land into trust and getting that kicked off soon. We reviewed that entire EA and notice if there's any discrepancies and make sure that it reflects everything that the nation needs and the environment itself to protect.
I have a question there. So when you do the environmental assessment, is there any cost reimbursement to the Department of Natural Resources when you function in that capacity to take on a service that the nation would have to pay for otherwise? So I'm wondering if there's any cost reimbursement within the department for those services that you offer on the outside,
okay,
like to Realty.
So no, the Department of Natural Resources does not charge the nation for any of the EAs that we work on. The legislative building that's currently being built right now, we did the EA for that as well. Child care's new facility, we did the EA on that. I could go down the list. Every ARPA program that had new construction development, we did the EAs on.
Well, thank you for doing that. I'm glad that we have the capacity within the department to do these, because if you do have to hire outside consultants, it's very expensive. So that's why I was wondering if your department got cost reimbursement for acting in that capacity. Okay, continue, please.
So we're going to continue with that program. The funds are there for that, and we're going to continue to develop and expand our capacities and various functions. Another example of that is we'll be sending our guys out this next fiscal year to get training and development on stormwater protection plans for all type of projects that's classified as new construction. So we'll be able to help go and identify and make sure that people are following their stormwater plans, whether it be a roads project or any other project for that matter, to make sure that we're not having our waters contaminated based off of runoff. So
I love that. That's what I studied in school. So
awesome.
Yeah, those plans are awesome. So, okay, well, great. I'm glad you guys have. So are you fully staffed enough to maneuver in all of these functions?
Yes and no. So we're getting by right now. Like anyone else's department, I'm sure everybody would love to have a few more people or personnel. The one thing that I do want to emphasize and that Jan and I really feel is a need that we would like to see is the game warden. We have him as an environmental protection specialist within our budgets that we've developed for this year and next fiscal year. The game warden would be something that would help us protect our resources on all tribally owned land. And it's a dynamic that currently we've already passed the codes and regulations for in previous congressional members that we have not had the capacity to actually enforce those. And so that is something that I'm really hoping will get pushed through.
We see it in this budget that when we're getting ready to visit, is it maybe placed
in? I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Good. Congresswoman Lemon.
This question may be for Jan, but you might be able to answer that. I see that there you have a vacant position for a conservation specialist also open, and has it been open for quite some time, or?
I think that one's going to be for Jan.
Okay, I thought so.
The person in that position left the nation, so we are we intend to fill it. We need that position. This is my own opinion. I really am very cautious about just immediately filling a position. I want to make sure that that position, especially as we're building capacity, is exactly what we need. So I'm kind of really taking the time to assess the position description and trying to make sure it is what we need. We're looking at possibly adjusting as we're using the feedlot more, you know, having somebody more focused on the nutrition side or, you know, things like that. So just making sure that the position isn't just being filled because it's there. It's what the nation needs so we can accomplish our objectives.
Congresswoman Lemon, do you have anything else?
I have
with
a
that?
Follow-up.
Okay,
yes.
Go
Thank
ahead.
Thank you very much. So you have one conservation specialist and it says you have one vacant. Is that so the vacant position is where is what you're talking about possibly reorganizing the job description or the needs? Okay. Will you always use a feedlot? I mean, would conservationists be proponents for that? And I think you know why my question is that. I don't believe in feedlots because we don't have to have them. So that's just something, a plan.
That's a question for Secretary Hayman, right?
Yes.
Okay, Secretary, you're on the hot seat.
Yes, and that's a good question, which is, again, why I'm assessing it. So I'm not necessarily saying that's exactly the direction we're going to go, but just taking a step back and looking at the more broad program and just making sure it is what exactly it needs to be. So, and you're correct, we may decide not to use the feedlot as much in the future, and that's okay, but we will still, if we go a nutrition route, we'll still have to do nutrition in the field and calves and cattle and, you know, adult
options that are out there besides
bison, things like that. So it's just a matter of assessing it and just making sure the position is what we need.
Okay, so you have one conservationist, but one did leave. And so you're looking to fill it again, but you're looking at changing the job description most likely.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm blinking red. There we go. So that was a question for Secretary. I think I'd like for, that's all right. We're good. I'd like for Mr. Walker to finish. And I think that, do you want to be recognized yet? Craig's come back.
Whenever it's
If you have more about your plan that you want to talk to us about, I believe that Congressman Tillman has a question when you're finished.
I can be very brief on the rest of it. So FY26, we're also looking at a first response on spills, not just from tank batteries. So we're building capacity in that dynamic through a gap grant with the EPA, and looking into those functions and being the ones that report and get those types of reports out to everyone that needs those. And the last other thing on that, that we've been working on and developing, and it's still in the process of capacity building, that we're looking into in the future is solid waste and solid waste disposal, setting up community cleanup days and different things. This past spring has been, you know, terrible for everybody as far as the storms and everything else, and so it leaves a lot of debris. Trees count as debris and is a type of solid waste, and so developing our capacity to be able to respond to that in a more timely manner, as well as with the other gap portion that I talked about as far as spill response. If a tornado rolls through again, it's not just hitting, you know, Barnstall, the city, but there's a bunch of debris that hits in the creeks and things. And if we're able to help respond and make it a safe environment, there was a gas leak at the time. So, you know, if we're able to get there first and help prevent someone from getting sick or ill from something like that, that would be extremely helpful.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like I can recall that spill response, especially as it pertains to the minerals estate, they used to have to wait till somebody came out, got the message and came out of Tulsa to respond to that. Now that we have the capacity at the nation to do that, that's a portion that you're trying to develop.
Yes.
How quick you respond to that. I think it's a really good idea. So
thank you.
I'm glad that you're doing that. Continue if you have more.
I can leave it at that and let Congressman Tillman go.
You have some questions, Congressman Tillman?
Well, just yes, Mr. Walker, these will be for you. And just you're going to have to kind of educate me here. As you know, we all kind of live in the oil patch here. And from time to time, I'll be somewhere and you get cornered by one of these producers of, you know, inquiring about our well plugging and capping. And one of the gentlemen that I came across, he asked me a question about, he said, now, are you guys thoroughly testing all of those wells before you plug them or cap them? Because he was convinced that what they call them, stripper wells that maybe produce a half a barrel a day. So what are the measures that you all take to ensure that none of those wells have any remaining production left in them?
And so that's a great question, and I'm glad you brought it up. We get calls about this all the time, and I visit with a lot of people because they are severely concerned that we're just plugging everything that we see that doesn't have a responsible party, which an orphaned well is a well that has no responsible party, no bond still on, that someone can be held accountable to actually plug as a producer. So we're looking at all the ones that have basically been full-blown abandoned that are just out there. And a large portion of these wells are drilled back in the early teens and even 20s. Some of them are at least at a minimum of 50 years old, which doesn't really sound like that far back when you start saying, well, that's the 70s, you know, 70s and 80s. But we go in and we bond log all these wells. Once we put our application in, we do as much as we can without actually entering the well before we put the application in. Once the application's approved, we go in and we bond log it, and we do a gamma ray inspection, everything else. We make sure that there's cement behind, there's no holes in the casing. When we come across wells that have those holes in the casing and all those things, the infrastructure is no longer sound, and you're basically having to completely work it over and basically drill yourself a new well, those are the wells that we're plugging. Those are the wells that we're taking off and looking at. If it's a structurally sound well and it's not communicating with a water aquifer, those are ones that we sit there and we'll take a step back, we pause, and we're like, okay, hey, you know, let's hear what Minerals Council has to say, because Minerals Council is the one who determines economic viability on all the wells that we apply for.
And if I may, furthermore, are there any assets down in these abandoned wells, these orphan wells, that piping, tubing, case, anything that we can pull out and use for, you know, to either sell it to make a revenue or any kind of profit?
My program in particular cannot make any revenue or profit. Okay. Because of how the grant was structured and written. That being said, what we do with anything that's economically viable, more or less, It depends 100% on how the lease was terminated or and or canceled. So if it was terminated and or canceled, there's a time frame there that the landowner has the option to take or have possession of various oil stuff that was abandoned. If it's, I can't remember which one's terminated or canceled, but if it's one or the other and it's not the landowner, it all reverts back to the mineral estate. So what we do is we'll pull it out, we test it, we run a Geiger over it for naturally occurring radioactive material, and we take it and then we set it aside and we basically haul it to what they call the Rainbow Yard and or over here at Triam. And Minerals Council and our procurement office dictates how those assets are handled from there.
Okay. And lastly, there's a broke ground on the Luttrell Pond, which I'm pretty familiar. I think that used to be the Texaco Pond, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And sitting in here the other day, I think we were in a culture meeting where they were talking about bringing back the cultural walk and being around the Luttrell Pond, and that's where they were going to hold it. And I've been out there quite a bit when it was the Texaco Pond, and I was used to fish it with John Hurd when it was still part of the Turner Ranch. And Tad Snakey, just wondered if you guys, do you monitor that? So when our folks go out there, if that's where the location they wanted to have it, do you have some sort of, you know, go out there and make sure that we're not going to have a problem with that?
Yes and no. Currently right now, Luttrell Pond is or Texaco Pond, depending on who you are. It is currently under construction. So what we've done is we have knocked the pond dam out and we've drained the water. We relocated all the fish out of it. And specifically for a couple of different reasons, we had an infestation of beavers within the dam itself. So the structural integrity of the dam is compromised. So that's one thing that we had to address in accomplishing this. But we also had a plethora of cattails all the way around the pond, which made it harder to access as far as the dynamics of fishing. So once we get that taken care of, which I believe we've dredged out all the cattails so far, but we're also going to dredge the entire pond. So we're going to deepen the pond by at least 2 feet. And then in this process, when we rebuild the dam back, we're working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and NRCS to design it where we actually might move the dam but keep the old dam there. So now you have a pier to actually go out towards the middle. So it'll be handicap accessible in a dynamic where all our veterans and all our elderly can still go out there and enjoy the dynamics of fishing and the other recreational activities that are going to be out there. They are all located up on the hill.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Okay. Right outside the Welcome Center.
I'm going to...
Thank you.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just...
Okay. Did you want to be recognized, Congresswoman Lemon? I was going to... Are you...
I'm done, thank you.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
Okay, I was wanting to move into the budget portion of our meeting, but if you have another question... Okay, she has two questions. Let's go with those.
So, real quick, you mentioned that you, I'm not complaining.
Nope, you're good.
Okay.
You're good.
So you mentioned that you took all the cattails out. Those are medicine. So I was just really wondering, like, cause that was a possibility to teach. And so was there an environmental reason for that?
Specifically more so for access. Everyone that we'd talked to historically was really wanting to fish it. And so we wanted to make sure that it was accessible in a dynamic of creating shoreline. The cattails will be able to be reintroduced back in, as well as fish. So once we get everything structurally sound and we fill it back up with water, after a certain time frame, we'll be beginning our reintroduction of various aquatic vegetation, which would include cattails, yonkapins, and a few other dynamics there. And then also incorporating the fish to help build the nutrient load that those plants are gonna need. Sorry.
Are you good, Congressman? Do you have
one
more
question? Okay. I need to back up to where you talked about solid waste, which is the trees, right? When we have
yes.
like damage or storms, or you're having like whatever you know you guys need to do. So do you guys upcycle that in any way, or do you burn it for hardwood ash for upcycling, or like where do you guys haul it? Like what do you guys do with that? And I'm not complaining. I'm wanting folks to hear that there's ways that we can utilize our resources, even if it's a felled tree, in other
yes.
ways.
Are you asking leading questions? I'm just kidding.
No.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Walker?
Yes. So what we're doing currently right now with our solid waste program, we've had it within our department for a number of years now. We always donate to all the Alonska Dances firewood. That firewood usually comes from fallen trees. So this would be an incorporation of that specifically for the trees. There is other solid waste that we are expanding within this role, but I utilize trees as the example because that's something that burial assistants and various others, historically PRT was another one that had requested firewood for various different activities culturally and traditionally. So we are looking to utilize the opportunity from a natural disaster, if you want to call it that, of a storm, to go out there to clean up your yard as a constituent, but also be able to take that in and put it in as firewood for various activities.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. So we're going to go ahead and move into what we're here for is our budgets. And the first piece of legislation is ONCA 2596, an act to provide an appropriation to the Osage Nation Executive Branch for fiscal year 2026 in the amount of $80,248,039 and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Rivard is the sponsor, and Section 16 DNR Domestic is the first section on there. Congresswoman Rivard, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Chairwoman. And good morning, or almost good afternoon, Dr. Haven. I'm glad you're here with us. You want to talk about your budget this year?
Yes, thank you again for allowing me to come and talk about the budgets. As you can see, in the domestic budget, there is a reduction overall from FY25. And I believe one of the things that has changed, I know there was previous conversations, is with this one is moving the, it was moving the program revenue from restricted, it moved it out of restricted and just put it into program income, regular, non-restricted. Although I had a conversation with Treasurer Batson and the decision was made to not put, at least in my version, I don't see anything in there there's not a program revenue in this particular one. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that Treasurer Batson wanted to see what that looked like moving into the year before, I guess, that was decided on the front end. So it sounded like that would be coming back to Congress later as we kind of see what that looks like. Since we are providing all of the calves, we're not going to have one large sale. We're going to provide the calves to Butcher House when they're ready. So we are going to be trying to offset our costs in this budget, but we want it to be what makes sense for Butcher House there. Again, you know, just making sure that it's we're thinking about the Osage people and getting to a price point that makes sense. So that was my understanding on why there's not a program income number.
Thank you. Is there any questions about this budget that's sitting here before us from the committee? Congresswoman Lemon.
I just want to ensure that 286,759 is the total.
Yes, I think this is one of the ones that Secretary Haven and I reconciled, and we started going through it, but we need to reconcile everyone because I think there is a discrepancy later on here. Congresswoman Lemon, did you have anything else? Okay. I have a question. So this is for our herd that we have as a nation, and I see that there are professional fees here. What do you use those for, Ms. Heyman?
The professional fees are for day workers or cowboys for specific instances that our staff needs additional help or support. So those look like kind of the bigger cattle workings, or if we have an animal that we're having a hard time getting up, it's in another pasture and we need assistance, things like that. very specific situations.
Right, and it seems like you have a partial salary in this budget. I don't need to know the person, but the position is, what is the position that the this salary covers? Maybe it's in another piece here, let me see. So it covers portions of the conservation specialist, the ecologist, two conservation specialists. So that's what that is for. And their salaries will come out of other tribal budgets as well, or maybe federal budgets?
Federal budgets.
Okay, thank you. And is the cost of feed in this budget as well? What line would that be on?
That is in the cost of goods sold.
Okay.
The feed, medications,
all right,
vaccinations, things like that are all perfect in the cost of goods sold.
Any more questions, committee, about this budget? Okay. So let the record reflect that the committee's reviewed Section 10 of ONCA 2596. Section 16, is that what I said? Yeah, Section 16. Okay, and we're going to move on down. Congresswoman Rivard, Section 17, DNR Services. Do you have any input you'd like to do, or do we just want to continue to hear from these two people that are here with us? And we'll listen to this one, and we may not get finished with it, but we're going to break for lunch. Clerk, is lunch going to be here? Lunch is here. Okay, let's go ahead and cover this Section 17. We're going to break for lunch until 1 after Section 17. Okay, it is DNR Services Wildlife. Is that something that's under your purview or Mr. Walker's?
That is also mine.
Okay, all right, let's go.
So this budget also has been reduced from FY25, and the same discussion was had with Treasurer Batson on the program income.
I believe that this is one of the budgets, Ms. Secretary Heyman, that we got a budget down on the 29th. So what's in the legislation is more. The legislation reads 151, 163, and I believe it's really supposed to be 122, 87. Is that correct? Is that the number you have?
Correct. The version that I have is 122, 871.
Okay, so we know that needs to change. Okay, I'll quit talking now and you tell us a little bit about this budget.
This one's pretty cut and dry. It hasn't changed much. I wanted to mention on this one that it's DNR Wildlife because we treat bison like a wild species, but we also look at the ecosystem as a whole. So this budget it's primarily bison, but it's also doing other functions for land management for other types of wildlife. So we're also using our under the wildlife implementing programs like a youth hunt. We did a youth hunt, a whitetail hunt last fiscal year. Well, yes, at the early part of FY25. We're going to do that again in FY26. We're increasing that to include veterans hunts this year. So that's just an example of some of the things that we're doing in addition to the bison, kind of in a bigger wildlife perspective.
Right. You spoke earlier about a game warden. Would this be the budget that a game warden would? No, it would not be. Okay.
No, we've had a lot of conversations about that internally, and at least internally, we believe that we're trying to be careful to separate the implementation of the programs versus like the compliance and enforcement. So we have the wildlife as the implementation program, but we want to ideally put a game warden enforcement in a different budget under Craig so it can be separate. So we're not regulating our own program within the program.
Well, that makes sense. I understand. Thank you for clarifying that a bit. Are there any questions from the committee about this budget? Other than the fact that we need to change the totals in the table of the bill. And I guess one more time, maybe I wasn't listening fast enough. Why did it decrease? Do we know?
It appears that it was the cost of goods sold.
Okay.
In my version, it shows $29,500.
Yes. Okay. All right. Any more questions? Congressman Potts, did you want to know? Okay. All right. So let's go ahead. If we're ready to move on from this section, let the record reflect. We've reviewed section 17. And there needs to be an amendment. Can you note that in our minutes that there needs to, that needs to be amended within the bill? Thank you. So I think right now we're really close to 12:15, and I put on our agenda that we're going to have a 12 lunch from 12:15 to 1 since we had this time slot, and you're welcome to join us. We'd love that if you want to. And I believe that lunch is here. So without objection, we'll adjourn until 1, we'll recess until 1 p.m.